Welcome back to Jesus, Joy, and Just a Little Chaos. This episode, we are talking about marriage meltdowns. We've all had them, but God's grace can turn even the ugliest moments into opportunities for growth. Let's get real, laugh a little, and find grace in the chaos.
Welcome back, guys. We're so glad you're joining us for episode 2. We hope everybody's had a really good week. We've had a crazy one, as per usual.
And also, this episode is a little late is because this time our air conditioner was in the background of the whole episode that we recorded, and we found it out at the end. So we had to re-record the whole thing.
Yeah, I think you've definitely been a little stressed out by that, because the editing is primarily your job, and I think that was a pretty devastating blow, I would say.
Yeah, and I thought it was awesome, and then I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, in God's timing, and maybe, not maybe, it's what God wants. He wants us to say it differently, I guess.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit might have been prompting us to deliver a different message, for sure. Do you have any fun memories from this week? Any highlights that you want to share? I would say that the Miss Monroe pageant for our 9-year-old was pretty fun. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Yesterday was fun. So
oh,
at least
yeah,
I got
talk
to
about that.
I'll get to add that. Yesterday I took the kids to Outback Steakhouse and we had a great time, and they were like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. The food's great. I'm like, I've never heard you guys talk about a restaurant like that. So I guess we'll be going back there. They had a non-alcoholic Shirley Temple that comes with this little shark. And in the shark is like the red grenadine, and you pour it out into it. So it's like blood coming out of the shark's mouth. And it was just a lot of fun. And there was like the little thing on the table that we could play table games, so that was fun.
I know the kids had a really good time. They really enjoyed spending that time with you, and you would have thought that they were eating at a 5-star Michelin chef restaurant. They were pretty excited about the Outback.
Yeah, they're like, we have to go again. I said, we'll go again sometime.
So today we're talking about marriage meltdowns. Something we're all too familiar with, right?
Not at all.
So what would you say is the hardest part of parenting special needs kids and trying to balance having a healthy Christ-centered marriage?
Having time for each other. Pretty much having time for each other is one of the hardest things, and having time to go to church if we can with all the other things that are going on.
Yeah, that can definitely be a real challenge. And I think inside of that, related to what you're saying, is connecting as well. Not becoming roommates and not only talking about the schedule every day or what bills need to get paid or who needs to get where.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's where we see a lot of breakdown in our communication, is just because we really don't have the time to sit down, connect, and talk things out. A lot of times we have to figure things out on the fly. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of downtime. And if we do, we're just wanting to do nothing.
Yeah, I definitely think we both fall victim to scrolling, and maybe, dare I say it, we fall complacent in terms of our relationship and just sort of count on the other person to be there.
Yep, I sit and just play video games or doom scroll.
Doom scrolling, that's a term I'm still trying to, I guess, understand. What exactly is doom scrolling? I hear that a lot. I think I'm behind the times.
So doom scrolling is that you just get caught in scrolling and you just keep going and going and going, and then all of a sudden an hour or 2 hours have gone by, and all you've done is sat there and scrolled.
Ah, makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm still kind of learning the new age terminology. I've finally gotten a hold of what Riz means, thanks to our children.
Oh, I don't use that terminology, but okay. I refuse.
You refuse?
Yep.
Rebuking the system?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's still radical, dude.
Oh my goodness. That's how 90s of you. I think that social media has been a negative influence in a lot of ways. It definitely has its positives, but I can see where it takes away from the family as a unit, for sure.
Definitely. There's a lot of evil, too. Let's not even lie. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, is funny, but it's not appropriate.
Yeah. Yep. I've heard, I don't know the exact details of it, but I've heard there's a really big scandal going on with Roblox right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, huge. Huge scandal. Like, did you hear? It is true. Chris Hansen is doing a documentary?
Or is it like one of his Predator investigations?
Something like that, but it's for the whole Roblox company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's...
I love Chris Hansen.
Yeah, it's huge. So, yeah, I don't let our kids play Roblox at all, and never would. Because a while ago, you know, it's crazy now that I think about it, someone I knew that you know, person that watched our dogs.
Yeah.
He was saying that he was catching people talking to his kids inappropriately on Roblox. So we stopped them being able to play Roblox.
Yeah. Yeah. Those games that kids can get on, you know, headsets and get online with other players and things. And I know you play it, but you're a grown adult. I think it's really dangerous territory, and it's scary as a parent to think about what could be going on when they're sitting just in the other room from you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that there's a lot of people using it for that, and there's no sort of, I guess, filters, because on Fortnite, like, if you curse too much, you can be reported and they'll turn off your mic.
Oh, wow. Well, at least that's a safety measure they're taking.
And I'm not saying, you know, things can't happen, but it's really, the times are changing when it comes to even games, but...
It is. And with respect to marriage meltdowns, I would say that our kids' use of electronics and social media and things like that does become a frequent point of contention in our marriage, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Because I know that the times have changed and there's not much going on outside and it's not as safe or this or that. Well, there's still time to go outside and do things. Now, maybe they may not find like kids to play with, but there's that fact of doing tactile things. So if you're like, hey, you need to go outside and play for 30 minutes, they're gonna find something to do. Trust me, they're kids. And like, that was something we had a huge issue with.
We did. Yeah, we had a pretty good argument over that one. I think it's difficult because we grew up differently. We were of the generations where they sent us outside and said, don't be 1 minute past the streetlights, but don't come home until they're on. So I think we are having a hard time adapting to the new norms for kids, for lack of a better word, right? And how kids interact now. I feel like kids don't even interact with each other in person. It's all through some type of screen.
Yeah, they don't really actually hang out. It's very rare that they're in the same room with each other. So that is something that, you know, I'm like, you got to go find some people to actually talk to and go do some things. Because some kids are starting to go do more things because they're like, I'm bored. You know, I have these electronics, but some are getting bored of it.
Yeah, I think some kids do. And then you have other kids, and this kind of speaks to our life. Neurodivergent kiddos, they hyperfixate, right? They need that dopamine dump, for lack of a better way to say it.
Yeah.
And so the video games become addictive. I think we can both agree. Our 12-year-old son, he gets emotionally affected deeply if we promote a consequence that involves taking away electronics.
Oh, yeah. It's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I shouldn't buy you any more toys, right? Because all you want is electronics. Oh, well, no. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And we have points of contention there that are really tough. And one area I think we have a lot of development to make in is that we often forget to attack problems as a team. Yep, and when it comes to parenting, we can really pull out an argument.
Yeah.
There isn't much about parenting that we can't find an argument within. And I think that's an area we have a lot of weakness and a lot of growth. And it's hard because we both come from our own backgrounds and perspectives. And oftentimes those clash.
And one of the things that we clash with when it comes to the neurodivergent children is I'm not neurodivergent, and one of our children, we are very similar in the ways that things that we had issues, like when I was younger, I had a lot of the same things he did, and I see things and then Jen sees something and she's like, well, you know, he has this and that. I'm like, okay, I understand that, but the saying he has this and that is becoming a crutch. And then he will say, oh, well, I have emotional dysregularity. Okay. That doesn't mean you can't work on it. And it doesn't mean that there's an issue. It's something that you have to work on. I'm not going to harp on you as hard about it. But you still need to work past it. Just because you have ADHD doesn't mean you can't try to focus on something.
I agree. I think it's hard because a mother's heart is for her children. And you, let's be honest here. You are tough on him. You are tougher on him than you are the other kids.
Well, it depends on what kids you're talking about. Because one is an adult. And the other one is a 9-year-old girl. So yeah, I'm not going to be as hard on the girl as I am the boy. And I am getting harder on our oldest, but that has come with time. And him understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing, and you understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think men have to have the freedom to turn their boys into men, but it's very hard for a mother to watch. And I think at times, sometimes you don't notice how hard that is for me and how cringe it is for me as a mom to watch you turning our young boy into a young man.
Yeah, because there's certain things, yes, he should go to mom and, you know, have that time with mom, but he can't be crying to mom for every little thing. And that's what I'm trying to work on, is dealing with those things, learning how to deal with it yourself, because mom's not going to be there sitting with you at work.
I mean, I could.
Yeah, you say that.
I would. The things that make me a very loving and nurturing mom also make me an overprotective hover mom. I think we can both agree.
Helicopter.
Oh, goodness. I think one area we fail in, and I mean, I would say we fail spectacularly, is when these disagreements come up, we don't take the time to stop, delve into the word, and find out what God says about parenting and about how we should handle the disagreement. I feel like that would save a whole lot of drama if we took the opportunity to do that. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I feel also if we waited till after that person was done, then had a conversation with them, it would turn out differently. Just like if you're doing something and I interrupt, you know, I'm wrong for that. But if you interrupt, sometimes you're like, well, they're my kids. You're not their biological dad. It's like, well, yeah, I understand that. But I'm also here. I'm the one that's here day to day. I understand you have another person to answer to, but I'm not being abusive.
Yeah, and that's an area I need deliverance from, for certain.
And I've been working on and still need to continue to work on is my anger and how I say things. Because for me, it's like, I'm just going to say it. And that's how I said it. Get over it. But sometimes that's not the best way to go about it.
For sure. I can be a fragile little flower sometimes. And I think that...
Fragile like a bomb.
Okay. That too. I think trauma and temperament and parenting styles and just the stark difference between men and women all play a really big factor.
Yeah. And that's something it's like, okay. And I guess I'll say this in the best way I can.
Are you trying to be politically correct over there?
Will that not be vulgar? Is, okay, I have male parts, okay, and you have female parts. We're a lot different. So a way the males do things is different than how females do things. You're like, oh, well, you're real mean and this and that. I said, guys are mean to each other, but we do it lovingly. We'll be mean to each other and kind of pick on each other, but not degrading. So yes, if it's degrading, that's not okay. But picking on each other, getting on each other's nerves, that's what we do.
And that's one thing that I've noticed in our marriage specifically. You often will tell me that you pick on me or irritate me on purpose because I'm your best friend, and that's a strategy I don't understand, to be honest.
Yeah, just like guys don't understand why women will say one thing and mean the other.
Yeah, I think that's the concept of I want you to want to do the dishes or something.
Yeah, like if I say, hey, you want me to do the dishes? And you say, no, it's fine. And then later you're like, why don't you do the dishes? Well, you said, no, it's fine. You didn't say, yeah, why don't you do the dishes?
Well, that's because I want you to want to do the dishes.
I'm never going to want to do the dishes. So that's a dream fairy tale that'll never come true.
Bummer.
So moving forward from that little diatribe, we went to the ENT for Wilder and had a little bit of a difference of an opinion. Per se, Jen, would you like to?
Yeah. So Wilder is our 2-year-old. He's being looked at for potentially having autism. And we weren't sure if he had a hearing issue because he's had a lot of chronic recurrent ear infections. So we were sent to have his hearing tested, as Zach said, and to have him evaluated by an ENT. So I feel like that doctor was kind of all over the place. I think you thought the same.
A little bit. He was just back and forth.
Yeah. But the answer that we got was kind of conflicting. And the long and short of a very confusing appointment was he has perfect hearing in one ear. They can't assess the hearing of the other ear. But based on the perfect hearing in one ear, that wouldn't be causing his speech delay. They did note that he has really large tonsils, and because he snores, they think he has sleep apnea. So they basically told us we could look at getting a sleep study and then potentially removing his tonsils, his adenoids, and doing his tubes all at the same time. Or we could do tubes in his ears now and then kind of wait to see the results of the sleep study later and basically create two separate surgeries. So, Zach, why don't you talk about your feelings on that appointment, and then I can kind of piggyback off of you.
So the doctor mentioned that there is a slight risk, and there has been studies that shown that after being under anesthesia multiple times, there has been learning difficulties or deficiencies. So there's a chance of that. There's also the chance that if something doesn't go right the first time, it could happen again a second time. So I was thinking, let's do less risk. I don't want to chance that the first surgery he has complications but makes it through okay, and then he has to do another one and possibly go through it or have a worse outcome. So my thought is, hey, why don't we do all of it at once, but we can discuss it. And Jen, to me, she was kind of pressured. She was like, oh, well, we'll just do that. I said, well, we can talk about it. But she's like, no, we'll just do that.
I, as a mom, have an innate instinct to solve a problem as quickly as possible. And so for me, I thought, well, ear infections put him in pain. He's a pretty miserable and pathetic looking little thing when he's suffering with an ear infection. And getting the tubes placed in his ears greatly reduces the likelihood of an ear infection. So I considered that the tubes first probably would have been the best way to go. And I don't ever want Zach to be unhappy with a parenting decision that I make. And I'm used to making most of the decisions by myself, pursuant to my older four children. So having a partner that goes to every doctor's appointment and has an opinion now with our son has been a big change for me. So I defaulted and told the doctor that we would wait. I made a rush to judgment and didn't give us the time to discuss it. And how did that make you feel, babe? I still don't really know.
It seemed like you were just trying to make me happy. And that's not what I wanted, or that you felt that I was saying this is what has to happen. I wanted it to be a mutual discussion and something that we can weigh the options out.
That's fair. I think I felt like you thought I was being negligent in decision making if I had decided to put tubes in his ears right away. That's how it felt to me.
No, not at all. I didn't feel like you were being negligent or anything like that. So that's where the major miscommunication has come in with this situation. And I'm sure others have had similar things happen.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of shutting down when I get overwhelmed. And I think that happened in that case.
That, and like you said, you've had a previous partner that didn't really give any insight in, and he, to this day, doesn't really give much say into things. He's just like, okay. He doesn't really have an opinion or try to say, oh, well, what about these things and this? Like you've said, it's been your choice and what you think is best. So it's something that you're getting used to. And I think this is something important for other mothers that go from being a single mother to a mother with a father that has stepped up, or in other words, a man that stepped up to be a father. It can be hard, but you can tell if they really care and if they're wanting the best for the child, not what's the easiest. So that's something I would encourage, because a lot of times, like I said earlier, Jen will say, oh, well, they're my kids. Well, yes, they are, but there's a man there helping you raise your kids that he didn't make, and he is treating and loving as his own.
Yeah, that's definitely a hard transition when you go from being responsible for everything to having somebody who has an opinion, even if the opinion is 100% in the best interest of the kids. It's not always the easiest adjustment to make.
Yeah. And I understand that. I'm not in your shoes, but I can appreciate.
Yeah, you're really good at understanding where I'm coming from, but in times of miscommunication, I shut down and you get defensive. And I think we could stand to learn what God says about defensiveness and poor cooperation. I think sometimes we really don't cooperate that well.
A scripture that does go along well with that is Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
I think we need help in that area. I think we should be continuously in prayer over that very scripture. That's really relevant. You did a great job picking that scripture.
Thank you.
How do you feel we could improve in those areas?
Being patient. Wink, wink. Stare, stare at you.
Is that one of those cough, cough moments?
Yes, because I am fairly patient, but when my patience is gone, it's gone.
You're definitely short-fused at times, and you say I'm fragile like a bomb.
Yeah, I'm not fragile, I'm a bomb.
Fair.
Which I'm working on, you know, have a longer fuse.
How do you think we can better imitate Christ in those moments where we're not behaving very Christ-like?
Take the time to step back and pray together, which that's something we need to do more, and get into finding a verse for what we're going through.
What do you think stops us from doing that? Just curious, because as you were speaking that out, I was thinking, well, why don't we do that?
Laziness. Laziness is number one.
Well, that's a kick in the chest.
On both parts. Me being lazy too. Pride is another one. The enemy whispering in each other's ear. Those are I would say that's all of it right there. That, or like we feel like there's a time pressure.
Yeah, I can see that. I think neither one of us likes to be mad at each other. I don't like to be mad at you.
No, I love being mad at you. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it sucks. I'm not one of those people. I don't like to be mad. It's not fun.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I feel physically ill when we're not getting along so well.
I just shut down. All emotion goes away. And I'm just like, whatever. And I go into my own little world.
Which often leaves me feeling isolated and sometimes rejected. And I think if we could find a way to do the things you mentioned, I mean, scripture, the Bible has all the answers, right?
Yep.
We don't, you know, earthly, we don't have the answers.
I agree.
maybe some humbleness and humility. Maybe a dose of that would help us as well.
Yeah, we both need that.
I think kind of tying it all together, I think that marriage is hard. Parenting is hard. Special needs parenting is harder yet. And I think it's really hard, kind of circling back to what you said at the beginning of the episode, which is it's hard to find time.
Yep.
It all kind of revolves around time.
And that's the thing, is even though most of today I sat playing video games, I could have done a lot more, and I know I can because I've done it. There is a lot of time in the day. There's only so much, but there is a lot of time in the day. So even when you come home from work, there's a lot of time that's spent doing different little things. Yes, you need to recharge your batteries, but there's other things you can put into that time that you're sitting there just watching TV for 2 hours or something. It's hard because we've all come to this, oh, I'm going to go work and I come home and do what I got to do, and then I'm just going to sit and do nothing and just veg out because we're so busy. But I think it's important to try and push a little bit further to add those extra little things because it makes you feel better.
It does. And I like how you pointed out that no matter how busy your day is, there's not really an excuse to make time for God.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, I was talking about us, like, relationship-wise. There, you should always make time for your spouse, but there is no excuse to not have time for God. That is just you not doing what you're supposed to.
Prioritizing.
You have to take some time to commune with God in one way or another, whether it be praying, whether it be reading some scripture, because, I mean, I'm not going to try and be gross here, but I'll read scripture on the toilet when I first wake up because I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to remember to read later, so I'm going to read now instead of scrolling on Facebook, because a lot of us nowadays, we sit on our phones while we're using the bathroom. You could be reading the Bible too. I'm pretty sure most people have the Bible app.
Yeah, I would agree. But I think that even though you were talking about our relationship, I think that's one place we fail, is we're not realizing that God is the center of our marriage.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel that. Well, no, you're right. That's something that we both fail to do, is putting God in the center of our relationship.
Yeah, I feel like we're terrible at that.
Yeah. So, see, guys, like we said, we'll be real with you. It's not, we're imperfect just like everybody else. It's a good life with Christ. I just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're feeling like either you've stepped away from God and you're like, I want to get back with God and I need some prayer, or you are listening to it and you're a parent that you've either heard of it or you've never heard of Christ and you want to learn more, please get in touch with us. We will pray with you if you'd like us to pray with you. We can get you in touch with a pastor. We know multiple and they're great people. And we just want to help you with your journey. We're here to guide in any way that God wants us to, because it's God that is putting that feeling in your heart.
And we don't judge. Can I just add that? We don't judge. Clearly, we've had revelation in our own relationship just sitting here discussing this, so we are not judgmental. Please feel free to reach out at any time.
Yeah, I've been through a lot of stuff. I've been homeless. I've been into a lot of other things. I have tattoos all over my hands. So I'm not one of those people that are judgmental at all, nor is my wife, and nor are the pastors that we know, because they're the pastors of our church, and there's other ones that we know from other churches. If that's something that you feel inclined, please feel free to reach out to us on social media or email. That'll be at the end of this episode. We would love to hear from you. And then also, if you have any testimony about this episode, about the episode before of something that you heard, or something that you would like to hear an episode on, or a testimony at all that pertains to parenting or parenting special needs, we'd love to hear from you. We want to grow with you. We want to create more community.
Even if that's just letting us know that you and your husband had a really big fight too over something ridiculous, it makes us feel a little more normal.
Yeah. I'm going to close this out in prayer, and soon here, maybe the next episode, I'm going to call out Jen, and she's going to pray at the end of the episode as she's smiling right now. I don't know if you can feel the smiling through the microphone, but Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to spread your word in a way that helps parents with going through difficult times and difficulties with their marriage as well due to being a parent, just a parent period or a parent of special needs. I thank you for giving us the means to record, the means to figure out how to get all of this out there, and putting your hand on what we're doing and guiding us. Lord, that's why the first recording didn't work, because you knew what was right, not us. We thank you for everything that you have given us. We thank you for all of our friends, family, and community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
If you would like to connect with us, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our Facebook is Jesus, Joy, and Just a Little Chaos. Our TikTok is JJC Podcast. Our Instagram is Jesus_Joy_Chaos_Podcast. And if you would like to reach us via email, our email is JesusJoyChaosPodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for spending this time with us. As you step into whatever today holds, may you be reminded that God's grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You're not alone in this journey. Until next time, be gentle with yourself and rest in His peace. And may God bless you.